Well, good morning, everyone. It's great to be here with you this morning. I want to thank you all for being here. It's always encouraging to stand in front of you, and appreciate also Todd and Ben and Greg trusting me to present another lesson to you as well this morning. Also want to thank Brother Kyle for the invitation song. I reached out to him on, I think it was Thursday night, to say, hey, I need you to lead this song for me, for the invitation song, never thinking that he would come back and say, I'm not familiar with that song. So appreciate him leading that song. It was a song that I grew up with, but never thought that it was a song that he was unfamiliar with. So I appreciate him working on that the last couple of days for me as well. And this morning we're going to talk about building some wells. So as the pilgrims and settlers moved across the country so many years ago, there were several important concerns that they always had to think about. And one of the most urgent things that they needed to always think about and have always on their mind was the fact that they always needed to find a source of reliable water. Obviously, across the country, it was not an easy thing to find at that time. There would be the occasional stream or lake that they would come across, obviously, to find water for themselves, for their animals. But the most reliable source, obviously, was a well that was going to have to be dug deep. And the reason that it needed to be dug so deep was, obviously, that it wouldn't be affected by drought. It wouldn't be affected by livestock and other things, the runoff that would come from that, contaminated by floods, those kind of things. So they couldn't really wait until they were thirsty, obviously, to begin digging this well. If they did, it'd be too late, wouldn't it? They would be in the middle of looking for water while they're trying to dig for that, and they'd run out. So they had to make sure that they had a nice supply of water that was vital to their survival before they started digging. And as Christians, we're sort of like settlers in this life in that aspect, making a temporary stop here on this earth as we travel to our eternal home. So like the early settlers, we should know that the times of spiritual thirst are coming, and they're going to try us, and they're going to force us to look deep and to find the godly strength and the purpose that we need to continue in Christ. If we wait until such time as to dig our wells to look for spiritual water, it could be too late for us as well. So I know it's a little early, but 2022 is going to be here before we know it. And as we begin to wrap up 2021, I want to think about our need to start digging our wells now so that we have plenty of spiritual water as we enter into 2022, and so that the many years to come will be our best yet. So this morning I want to encourage you to think about digging your wells, because the day of judgment is coming. And it's coming quickly. We know that because God tells us that it's coming. That day is coming, and we don't really know when it's coming, but we know that everyone is going to be judged on that day by God. I know that I seem like I mention that oftentimes during my lessons, this idea that that day is coming, but it's something that I really feel like needs to be firmly implanted into our minds at all times. It's something that I think if we're not careful, we sort of forget about. We put it in the back of our mind. It's something that we don't think about enough. So I wanted to think about this morning the idea that there is a day coming. Turn with me, if you will, to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. And we're going to look at verse 30 and 31. Acts chapter 17, verse 30 and 31 read, "Truly these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising from the dead." So we read here that there is a day that's coming, and on that day we'll be judged according to all that we have done in life. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 10 teaches us, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad." I feel like oftentimes, I know that I'm guilty of this, we want to blame our shortcomings or our sins on others. But I would say this morning that there is no blaming others on this day. There will be no blaming of others or entering on the coattails of others. Romans chapter 14 and verse 12 teaches us, "So then, each of us will give an account of himself to God." I don't know how often you think about that, but it's a really pretty sobering thought to think that you're going to stand in front of God one day to give an account for all the things that you've done in this life, whether good or bad. It's a pretty sobering and intimidating thought, and hopefully we're ready for that day. So if you and I are not diligently seeking to dig our wells now. We may face that judgment as a thirsty soul, a soul that's lacking spiritual water needed to survive. How sad it would be to procrastinate only to find that we have no time left. Like the rich young man who wanted to build bigger barns. Let's turn to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, it's a very familiar story. We're going to start in verse 16. It says, "Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do since I have no more room to store my crops? So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will store food, store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, that night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. So do I have my spiritual wells dug deep enough to keep and sustain my faith until the judgment day? So this morning I also would say, dig your wells deep because the times of temptation are coming. We should know that the Christian life is full of temptation. And hopefully we're not entering into this walk thinking that it's going to be easy, because it's not. The main reason for this is because we know in 1 Peter 5:8, we learn that our adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. One of the other reasons that we need to be aware of temptation is because we read in James chapter 1, verse 14, but each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desires. We talked a lot in the high school class this last quarter about the Sermon on the Mount, and we learned from the high school kids that some of the things that they're tempted by are some of the things that even you and I are tempted by. And we made that point, was that the things that you struggle with now could be things that you struggle with as an adult. That desire to fit in, to make lots of money, sometimes to take credit for things that God is doing in our life. We want to take credit for those things. And those are all very difficult, and they're very real. And those are definitely things that we're going to face and need to be prepared for. If we take temptation lightly and fail to dig our wells now, you and I will be like that rocky soil that we're going to read about in Luke chapter 8. Let's turn there together. Luke chapter 8, and we're going to start in verse 11. Another familiar passage for us all. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and yet they have no root, and believe for a while, and in temptation they fall away. Now the ones that fell among thorns, and those who were, when they heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. But the ones that fell on the good ground are those, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. So let's not be like the ones on the rocky soil that we just read about, who have no roots deep enough in Christ to withstand the heat, and they're going to fall away. Lack of wells that are dug deep in the Word will cause us to fall victim to deceitfulness, the deceitfulness of sin. Let's read Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. I'll probably keep you busy with reading through the Bible this morning. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. It says, "Beware, brethren, lest there be any of you, an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." Do we have our wells dug deep enough to quench the spiritual thirst that we're going to face when we're tempted? So dig your wells deep, because the times of trials and tribulation, they're coming. Christians must face these trials and tribulation. Let's turn to John chapter 16. John chapter 16, we're going to start in verse 25. And it says, "These things I have spoken to you in figurative language, but the time is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figurative language, but I will tell you plainly about the Father in the day that you will ask in my name. And I do not say to you that I shall pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. I came forth from the Father and have come into the world again, that I leave the world and go to the Father." His disciples said to him, "See now, you are speaking plainly and using no figure of speech. Now we are sure that you know all things and have no need that anyone should question you. By this we believe that you came from God." Jesus answered to them, "Do you now believe? Indeed, the hour is coming, yes, has now come, that you will be scattered, each to his own, and you will leave and will leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken to you, that you in me, that you may have peace in the world, that you will have tribulations, but will be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world." These trials and temptations, they're going to be diverse. We learn in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 4 and 5, "But in all things we commend ourselves as ministers of God, in much patience, in tribulations, in needs, in distress, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in fastings." Distress, in stripes, and imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in fastings. So since God has never promised that the saved would be excused from suffering, but He promised quite the opposite. He promised that we would have these things that we have to go through. So the question again this morning is your spiritual well deep enough to survive these kind of times? So again, now is the time to dig your wells. Dig them to prepare for the day of judgment. Digging wells to enter the eternal life is not easily accomplished. We learned in the high school class again this last quarter, and I believe up here as well, in Matthew chapter 7, verse 14, about the narrow way and how difficult it is. But we know that that's the one that leads to life, and how few are going to find it. And yet we see Christians nowadays who will often, they seem like they sort of cruise through life, don't they? They seem like they forget sometimes that we're being called to be a soldier, to do battle against evil, and to do anything that stands against the knowledge of God in His world. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 and 6, verses 3 through 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 3 through 6. "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." So those wells are being dug by performing deeds of mercy and compassion. Again, let's turn to Matthew chapter 25. We're going to read 33 through 36. Matthew chapter 25, and we're starting in verse 33. It says, "And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. And then the king will say to him on his right hand, 'Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit his kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food, and I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, you took me in, and I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me, and I was in prison, and you came to me.'" So these wells are also dug by seeking the things of God and putting sin out of our life. That's a difficult thing to do. But let's read Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. It says, "If you were then raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of this earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanliness, passion, evil desires, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon you, the sons in disobedience." We must get focused on where we're going to assure that we get there. Again, let me say that again. We must get focused on where we're going to assure ourselves that we get there. We need to prepare ourselves for temptation. We need to dig our wells with confidence because God is on our side. God has provided the needed answers to overcome sin. Let's turn together to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Starting in verse 1, it says, "My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteousness. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the entire world." God covered both sides of our sin problem. It's our job to turn to him to be free from sin. He has provided the strength and the motivation that we need to overcome sin throughout the gospel of Christ. And in Christ, there is hope for those who in weakness fall victim to temptation. God has promised to protect us and to always provide a path of escape. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13 teaches us that no temptation has overtaken you except such as in common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation, you will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. So dig your wells against temptation with the tool that God has provided. We can overcome the sinful works of the flesh through God's Spirit. Romans 8, verse 13 teaches us, "For if we live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live." The Spirit works in our lives and comes through the gospel of Christ, seeing that the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17. And the formula is the same for us as it was for David. Let's turn together to Psalm chapter 119. Psalm chapter 119. And we'll start in verse 9. It says, "How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you." So use the support of God's family, this family that we have here, the family that we have all over the world. The Spirit works in our lives through the gospel of Jesus Christ. We can overcome those sinful works of the flesh through God. Let's use the support again of God's family found in the worship and Bible study. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. Again, it says, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and other good works. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." Determine that this coming year is the year that you'll begin to delve deeper into God's Word, reading God's Word to know Him. How much time are we spending on God's Word each day? This is definitely an area of my life that I need to improve on, and I would encourage you to look at that as well. We spend so much time on social media and other things that take our focus away from God. Let's be spending that time in God's Word each day. Let's determine to put more effort into preparation for our Bible classes, that you might also add a word of encouragement or insight to help the one who's leading class, to make that a more rich class and a rich study for those around you. Use the line of communication provided by the Lord in prayer. Jesus' example prayer for his disciples included the request that God not lead us into temptation, but to deliver us from evil. Matthew chapter 6, verse 13. We need to come with confidence before God in our time of need. Let's turn together to read Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. Again, Hebrews chapter 4, 14 through 16. "Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us in time of need." So when we do sin, we need to repent of that sin and confess it. We need to work hard to not do that again. And when we do sin, we need to repent that sin and confess it to God. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 teaches, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." When we do sin, we need to repent that sin and confess it to our brethren. James chapter 5, verse 16 teaches, "Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." This is something that we struggle with often as brothers and sisters. We struggle to go to one another and confess our sins against one another. So let's be working on that as well. Are you digging your wells in the Word, in fellowship with the family of God, in prayer, and in repentance and confession of sin? If not, now is the time to start. We need to prepare ourselves for trials and tribulations. We need to dig that well of rejoicing in our salvation that God has so richly provided. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, and we'll look at 3 through 6. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that He does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while it need be, you have been grieved by various trials. So dig your well of prayer for the peace and strength that God offers. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7 teaches us to be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Dig the well of knowledge concerning the purpose of trials. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 3 teaches us to count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. Dig the well of knowledge concerning why they come upon Christians. Sometimes we question that, why these things happen to us. And it's going to be different for each one of us as well. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 3 through 5 teaches, for we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles, and we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. In regard to these things, they think it strange that they do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. They will give an account of those who is ready to judge the living and the dead. Dig the well of comfort received from your brethren. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 4 teaches, blessed be the Lord and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all affliction, so that we may abide and be able to comfort those who are in affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Have you dug your well that you need to face the trials and tribulations that are going to come? So this morning, in conclusion, if you dig the wells that God provides, the needed water through Jesus Christ, John chapter 4, verses 14 teaches, but whoever drinks the water that I will give will never be thirsty again. The water that I give will become a spring in him of water welling up to eternal life. If you're thirsty for salvation, you can drink of Christ's saving water by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, believing, being baptized, and then living faithful forever. Or maybe you need to redig the wells of salvation that God has so graciously provided, seeing that you may have allowed them to become stopped up through your own spiritual neglect. So this morning I would encourage you, whatever your need might be, that you would come to Jesus today and make your needs known as we sing the song that Kyle has selected.